The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Well, I'm excited. I'm thrilled about the potential of the next 30 minutes. I hope you were with us last week. Had Pastor Jeremiah in the studio. He's here again today. If you weren't here last week, we're going to kind of take off on a topic that we began last week. And if you didn't hear it, I want you to go to truthinfusion.com. There's a ministries tab. You'll see a drop-down window, and you'll go to radio, and you can listen to last week's show in totality on the internet. So if there's a few things that are skipped over today that were obviously talked about last week, I want you to go listen to that. Great teaching, some good stuff that God blessed us with Brother Jeremiah. He's back in the studio. I'm glad that you're back with me today.
Thank you, brother. It's exciting. Thank you for last week, and just excited about what God's doing today.
Me too. I want to. We're going to get into discussion again about life with the Holy Spirit. Unbelievably important topic for any believer. First, I want to pray a little bit, and then we're going to get into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I ask that you would anoint the speaker. Lord, right now, send the one that makes teaching easy. Send the one that makes preaching so easy. Anoint every word that's spoken. And then for those that are listening, whether through car speakers or their stereo or their internet, computer, I pray that you would anoint what they hear, anoint their ears. Let this word find its way into their heart so that they are changed, Lord. So we ask you to do that, and that you would glorify Jesus Christ through the whole thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week you began kind of explaining God opening up this work in your life, a work of the Holy Spirit that really changed your ministry from being one of action to one of power. Mm-hmm. And so we started talking about that, and I want to just get right back into it, where we left off last week. And you were kind of mentioning before we started the show that the cross was a whole lot more than just salvation.
Right.
What were you saying?
Well, in 2007, after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there were some things that took place. And I said last week the reason why I was seeking the Lord because there was something missing in my life. Yeah. I knew there was something missing. Not only did I know it, but my wife, and she had told me, I won't quote this again for those that didn't hear it last week.
Good.
My wife has said, Jeremiah, you live like Jesus in the pulpit, but when you're at home out of the pulpit, you live like hell. And, man, I was chasing dreams. Uh-huh. I was wanting plaques on the wall. I wanted the best education. I wanted all these things to where people would say, man, he is a successful man of God. And at the same time, I was losing my wife and I was losing my children.
Wearing yourself out to accomplish good things.
Right.
But in the midst of trying to accomplish good things, you were missing the best things.
That's right. And I think that's where a lot of pastors are.
I've
got some great friends, and we talk about these things. And one thing that God really did in my heart in 2007 was this. I came to a point to where I didn't care if I pleased man. I wanted to please him.
Mm-hmm.
And with that thinking, with that at the forefront of my mind, I think of Matthew 6:33 when he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto
yep.
you. I wanted those added unto you, but I
missed the first part.
I missed the first part.
Right.
And it wasn't until I started seeking him in spirit and in truth that he started transforming the life of the relationship with my wife and I. She
yeah.
is the greatest thing that God has ever given, blessed me with, and for even our ministry. But we have seen God do some amazing and supernatural things in our lives, in the life of our children, in the life of our church. But I came to a point to where, you know, there was so much controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would talk to other pastors about it, and some of them, their first comments was, hey, you need to leave that by yourself. Don't talk about that much because they'll label you as a charismatic. My dad would say this in revivals, and I like it. He'd say, when people say that I'm charismatic, it's not because of their theology. All they're saying is I'm more excited about Jesus than you are.
And that makes people uncomfortable.
It does.
If they're not at that level that you're at and they experience your excitement from their perspective, it convicts in certain ways, and it makes us uncomfortable. When we don't understand certain things, you know, our first reaction is to rebel or to pull back from it. And I see that a lot.
Well, I get it. I'm an emotional guy, and there was a time when I asked God to take the emotions away from me, and there was no movement in our service, and I had to go back to that same plot that I asked God to take it from. God, give it back to me.
Give me
yeah. back my emotions. And
bring the rain again, yeah.
And so, man, I get very passionate when it comes to preaching, and for many years I'd get to, people would tell me this, you're bad Pentecostal.
Okay.
But because, and I want to say this to your hearers, and I have a lot of friends say, well, I'm bad Pentecostal. Well, because you get passionate when you preach loud,
mm-hmm.
Because there's results, and because you lift your hands and sing praise music, that doesn't make you Pentecostal.
And yeah, it doesn't make you an extremist.
It doesn't make you an extremist. And so I started seeking out the scripture. I'm saying, God, you know, I've gone through seminary, and you've given me some great mentors, but I want to know from the great mentor, your word, Jesus Christ, what does your word say about the Holy Spirit? Because I know that he said, in Acts chapter 1, that he was going to send forth the promise of the Father,
mm-hmm.
which was the Holy Spirit. And he told them to wait, to wait until the promise has come. And that was all four Gospels, the three Synoptics and John. There's some things that they don't always talk about. Now, there are some things that all four mention,
right?
The birth of Christ. The crucifixion of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. You know, there's something else that all four Gospels makes mention of.
All right.
They make mention of John the Baptist's ministry.
Uh-huh.
John the Baptist, all four authors, inspired by the Spirit,
mm-hmm, right,
gave attention to something very important, I believe, for you and I, for the believers. He said, I baptize you with water into repentance.
Uh-huh.
But there's one who's following me whose shoes I am unworthy even to touch.
Yeah.
Who's going to baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And then Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, he said, hey, the promise of the Father is coming. And I started reading these scriptures. I'm like, God, they had power. And I know that a lot of folks say, well, the book of Acts is a transitional book. You can't build a doctrine or a theology from that book. But I want to submit to those who believe that. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, all scripture.
Right.
All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I look at the early church, I'm thinking, you know what? That's what the Church of America is missing.
Yeah.
We're not seeing the power. And I tell our people all the time, it needs to be on the forefront of our mind. I'm 32 years old. My wife is in the millennial generation.
Yeah.
It is the largest generation that God has created that walk across the face of this earth. Over 700,000 in that generation. We have more technology,
yep,
more resources, more buildings than we've ever had in the history of the church.
Bunch of busybodies.
But we are not reaching that generation.
That's right.
And for me, so long in our ministry, and even the mentors that I've been around, we put a lot of focus and we preach on salvation and what Christ did in the past and what God did in the past. And we'll also spend some time preaching about the coming of Jesus, what's to come in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell your viewers today, your listeners, that he's not only a God of yesterday and of tomorrow. He is
now
a God of the now.
That's right.
He is today. He is today. And he wants to do a work in people's lives today. And most of our churches, if God did a work in the life of that church today, they would panic. They wouldn't, because they wouldn't know what the work of God looked like.
Yeah, because they would lose control.
That's it.
Of what's going on, minute to minute operations. They, you know, God sometimes operates outside of the bulletin.
Amen.
You know,
that's right.
And I don't say that. Nothing wrong with a bulletin, but whenever we get scared if anything changes in our rut,
mm-hmm.
You know what? God likes to blast us out of our rut because it gets us into an area where we don't know what to do next, and he is very comfortable in that area.
It's amazing how quickly we want to control things.
Mm-hmm.
We even want to control the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says the Holy Spirit cannot be controlled. It goes where it wants to go,
like,
and it does
wind.
What it wants
yeah.
to do. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit is gracious. He's only going to reveal and pour himself out onto those who desire it. He said, those who thirst, he will pour out his Spirit.
Yeah.
Man, those who are hungry for it, he will pour out his Spirit. And he's not going to push himself where he's not wanted.
Yeah.
Most of our churches want control. They want their bulletins, mm-hmm. their structure, their programs that they've created, because it's easy to get applauded and patted on the back for what you have done. But what God wants to do, he wants to turn loose his spirit in the lives of the yeah. church. When we let go and let God have control, that's when the supernatural takes place. Man, that's when people are saved and we haven't done anything.
Yeah, I've told other people before, how do you know? Here's one little quick way to know if it was me, or if it was our program, or if it was the Holy Spirit. If you can't explain how it happened, if you're not really sure what just happened, if you can't say we did A, B, and C, and then we got D, if it's one of those situations where I don't know what really happened, but something took a hold of us, and then all this began to pour out of it, there's a good chance you're talking about Holy Spirit movement right there. But what a lot of preachers that are scared of, I guess scared is the right word, what they're afraid of is losing control. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of chaos. You know, God is a God of order.
That's right.
He's not going to try to take these baby Christians or these visitors and scare them to death so they never show back up at a church.
That's right.
He's sensitive to where we are and the place we're in. And so it's okay. You can be, you know, when my kids come home here, they've been at mom's, at their grandma's for a little while. When they come home, they don't come into this house worried or scared about what's going to happen, or what we're going to do, or is this going to be a fun time or a good time. You know what? They're at dad's home. They're back home. They're Amen. Comfortable. Let your hair down. Enjoy the provision and the protection of daddy's house.
Amen.
And pastors, I just would encourage you, church leaders, you don't have to be afraid of the Father's house.
That's right.
If you will turn this time over to him, let the Holy Spirit do what he is just aching and desiring to do, I promise you, you will not go away disappointed.
That's right. What I see in Scripture, sometimes our order is not God's order.
And that's the truth.
And a lot of times we like to put those parameters. We force our thinking and our parameters on the Scripture instead of allowing the Scripture to force itself on our parameters.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about the life with the Holy Spirit, just something, I heard a story of a man by the name of Jack Harris. He's in his 80s. And he was a widower.
Uh-huh.
And what his children would do at Christmas, one of his daughters would buy him a jigsaw puzzle. And it started out like 100 pieces. And for about 3 or 4 years, he'd get these jigsaw puzzles from his daughter. And he'd work on them for a month and 2 months. Well, one year, she got him a huge jigsaw puzzle. And, man, he was going to work at it. And it took up residence in his kitchen table.
Right.
He kept working on it and working on it. And it took him almost 7 years to complete that one jigsaw puzzle. He got to the very end and stepped back, and he thought he was finished. 7 years of work now, and he looked, and there was one piece missing. And he began to look all over for that one piece that was missing because it wasn't complete yet.
Yeah.
It was, man, he had worked hard for 7 years. It was an accomplishment. It was satisfying to him, but he had to find that one piece.
Yeah.
He looked up under the cushions in the couch. He called his daughter. She called the company to see if they still made that piece. And they had stopped making that jigsaw puzzle. And he looked back, and there was a missing piece. And, brother, when I read that story, I'm going to tell you, it triggered something in my spirit. That's where most of our believers are right now.
Come on now. Yeah.
They've gone their whole life, and there's been one missing piece.
Mm.
And they haven't been satisfied. They believe that they could have seen God do more in their lives, but there's something missing. And I'm going to tell you, that piece is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit. I met a lady 2 weeks ago. I was at a secluded park where I spent a lot of my time in prayer and in study, and I was praying, and her vehicle pulled up. She got out, and she said, I won't take long. I won't interrupt you, but she needed to smoke a cigarette. I said, that's okay. Go ahead and sit there, and I won't interrupt you either. Enjoy it. And as we were sitting, the Spirit just kept saying, talk to her. And when I sat down and talked with her, we got talking about the Lord. Her daddy was a Baptist preacher.
Mm-hmm.
She'd been in church, jumping from church to church. And this is what she told me in tears. She said, Pastor Jeremiah, she said, there's just something missing in my life. And I said, that is the Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's powerful stuff, truth seekers. Don't you leave. We're going to be back in 110 seconds. Continue talking with Pastor Jeremiah. Hey, Truth Seekers, this is David Markham, and I want to ask you to go to truthinfusion.com and check out our blog site. I'm using it like a Bible study. We're talking about justification, sanctification, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to go get your Bible, check what I'm saying, make sure I'm telling you the truth. But I think you'll find some things there that challenge you to see things differently, maybe a little more clearly. So truthinfusion.com, check me out on the blog site, and you keep seeking the truth. Truth Infusion Ministries is excited to introduce you to J&K Custom Cutting. This Christian-based operation is a father and son team that is ready to take care of your lumber needs. The great thing is they are portable, so you can bring the logs to them or they can come to you. They also build logging mats and they sell lumber of all types with a specialty in cedar. So call Johnny and Kevin at 903-824-8477. That's 903-824-8477. They are waiting to hear from you. I have a little assignment for you. I want you to go to truthinfusion.com. If you look on the homepage, you'll see the area where you can put your information in to receive our monthly newsletter. Now, this will give you all the recent updates and the things going on in the ministry so that you'll know what to pray for and what to expect in the upcoming days and weeks from Truth Infusion. God bless you. Until next time, you keep seeking the truth. We're in the studio with Pastor Jeremiah Moss, talking about life with the Holy Spirit, discussing the concept that without the Holy Spirit, you've got a major piece of the puzzle of your life missing. And you were relating a story about something that personally just happened with a lady just recently that told you that there was something missing in her life.
Right. We were sitting there on the park bench, and she was in tears. And I had actually met her the Friday prior to that, and got to pray with her there at the park, and she asked me to pray about three things, and I prayed specifically for those things to take place. Well, on Tuesday morning, I show back to the park, and she was already there waiting on me. She said she'd been there on Monday, been there on Tuesday, just waiting for me to come back. She didn't know where I was a pastor at, and she wanted to tell me that God had answered all three of those questions, that things that we had prayed about, and she wanted to know more. She was very inquisitive.
Yeah.
She had told me that her dad was she grew up a PK kid, a preacher's kid.
Yeah.
In her present life, she was jumping from one church to another church. And just really, she said that there was something missing in her life. And I just asked her, I said, have you ever been baptized with the Holy Spirit? And I showed her in the scripture what we've been talking about, the importance. And she said, how do I do that? I can tell you that even the subject matters is different. Salvation, when you're baptized into the body of Christ, that's what the Holy Spirit does. But Jesus says he will baptize you with his Spirit. Mm-hmm. I said, have you ever asked Jesus to baptize you with his Spirit or to immerse you? I think of it like this. It's like someone has a very, very thirsty, say in a dry desert, and they have a glass of water. And when they drink that water, their thirst is quenched. And, man, it's on the inside. And that's salvation. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's when regeneration takes place. Yeah. We become a new creature, I said, when you're baptized, it's like this with the Holy Spirit, that you're jumping into a swimming pool in that desert. It totally consumes you, and it moves from the inside to the outside. And right there, she said, how do I do that? I said, you receive it the same way you receive salvation, through faith, mm-hmm. and you ask him. And she prayed, and realized she was praying, and I prayed over her. She lifted her hands, and tears ran down her eyes, and she started praising God, thanking God. And she said that she knew that this was what the piece of puzzle that she was missing in her life. And I'm anxious to continue to hear what God's doing in her life. But it's no doubt that, you know, right now in the life of our church, we're going through this. And I'm seeing people, even in our church, as I go to their home, they're saying, man, I grew up in church all my life, and I never heard this. How come I never heard this? And it's black and white. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Brother, we were talking about fear. Mm-hmm. Man, I have been fearful in my life, and especially with the subject even talking about the Holy Spirit, or what people would think, or what they would call me. But you know what the opposite of fear is?
What's that?
Faith. Faith is the opposite of fear.
That's good.
And Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith it's impossible to please God.
Right.
One must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder to those who seek after diligently. Him diligently."
Right.
And so faith is believing in the Word of God, which requires obedience and action.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in something, it's going to cause a change in your lifestyle. You can't help it. And so whenever I see in the Word of God things, I say, well, the Bible says it. It demands faith. It demands an act of belief that will transform my life. I was reading in Hebrews chapter 6, and this is probably the three passage scriptures that got me to thinking about, man, God is such a good God. This is what it says. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to the perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on the hands, of the resurrection of dead, and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And brother, I had a...
That's a big part right there.
It's a big thing. Like, what? God doesn't allow sometimes for His believers to move forward to Christian maturity?
Okay, why would that be?
Why would that be?
Yeah.
For so long, even in my life. And can I be honest with you and be honest with viewers? I know God was calling me to the ministry, and man, I started pastoring my first church right after the call came to me. I don't know if I should have been called to be the pastor. Because, see, I was still laying these elementary principles.
Yeah.
And I find, even with talking with some of my pastor friends that have been pastoring for 20 and 30 years, they're still laying these foundational things. And we're expecting our church to have power to move from the natural to the supernatural and see things that only God get the glory for. But yet, we're still only giving them elementary principles.
Yeah.
And I'm not a construction worker. I have some in our church. And they would tell you, if you're building a house and you lay the foundation, if the inspector came and he gave you a red tag, that means you can't go any further. That means you need to correct the mistakes and make a better foundation. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because if you built up on that bad foundation, something later will take place that's not so good.
Yeah, eventually it's going to come back around.
So there's times when God gives red tags and says, you know what, you need to work on these foundational things, and then I will permit you to move forward. So I said, all right, God, I want to move forward with you.
Mm-hmm.
I want to move to the meat. I want to experience you in a traumatic way that will transform not only my life, but my children's lives that are watching. And I looked up here. It's almost like He gave a list of things that are elementary. He gave that word baptisms.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, what are you talking about? That's not in the singular.
Yeah. That one little letter changes the meaning of that word quite a bit.
It does. So there's more baptisms. And so I started seeking the truth, because I knew for me to move forward with God, I need to understand what He's talking about right here. And so I started realizing that through the scripture, there's three baptisms that take place in a person's life. And I've preached on two of the baptisms. I'm good at that.
Yeah.
But when it talks to the baptism of the Spirit, or Spirit baptism, which is the power,
mm-hmm.
It is the releasing to do the work of the Lord. And I didn't know anything about. So I started studying about the Holy Spirit and what all the Holy Spirit gives. It's good to know that we have a gracious God who gives His Holy Spirit to works in our lives, empowers us to do His purpose.
Yeah. There ought to be some kind of a light that goes off when you even consider about the fact that you have the disciples that followed Jesus every day for 3.5 years. Brother, they knew more about ministry than any other 12 men on the earth, true ministry of the gospel. But Jesus told them, you go to Jerusalem, you get in that room, you don't come out, you don't do a thing until you have received what's coming to you.
Amen.
You go pray and you wait. Don't do anything until you've got it first. And there's so many ministers out there in our churches, you know, leaders in churches that are doing their best to be so active, they wear themselves out in the name of ministry, but they don't operate in the spirit, and they don't even realize that. God wouldn't let Peter come out of that room until he had it. What makes us think that we can go? And what we have, so we have churches that with rocking chair syndrome, is what I like to call it. They're moving a whole lot. They're just not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's these programs we alluded to last week. We're so active. We're all number crunching, trying to, but you know, we're not doing what counts. Mm-hmm. And what counts is that Holy Spirit ministry that affects the hearts of people. Mm-hmm. And it's the heart change that Jesus was after. That's what the cross is all about, changing us, bringing us into the kingdom, and then sanctifying us through the Holy Spirit till one day we reach a place called glorification. But that threefold process, it's the Holy Spirit that gets us from point A to point B. And when we leave him out or we put him in the back corner, then we don't have a prayer of attaining to anything that God wants us to without him being the engine in the car. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we get to when we reach that baptism point, is the engine finally revs up, right, in this Christian automobile that we're supposed to be cruising around in.
You know, there's so much to the Holy Spirit, and we always, the greatest place to go is to what Jesus did for us on the cross. Mm-hmm. And I can express this enough. He did more than just to redeem us on the cross. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. He came to restore us into that right relationship. Someone said, "Are you righteous?" And I tell people, yeah, you're righteous. You're found in right standing with God, not because of what you've done or what you merited, but what Christ Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
You're restored to that.
His righteousness was transferred to our account.
Oh, man, glory to God. And when I think about these things, I know that time's short, and maybe we can come back some other time.
Yeah.
But I want to give your listeners something to think about.
Please do it.
Okay? I know that there are two groups of people that we're addressing. There are those of you that may not believers, you're non-believers, but you're inquiring information about this man that we call Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. Well, there's another group of believers. There's three groups of you. There's some that have a charismatic background, that were, man, you saw one extreme of the work of the Holy Spirit, and maybe you're afraid of it now. You saw the opposite of the spectrum. But maybe there's a group of you here that are listening that are just like I was. You grew up in a church. You heard about the Holy Spirit, but the baptism and the power of it was never talked about. Mm-hmm. And that's where I was at. And maybe you're a new believer and you have no church background. I'm going to tell you, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing, because you haven't been indoctrinated yet.
Yeah.
And study the work of the Holy Spirit, the functions of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, it will set you free. It will give you freedom like you've never had. It'll give you power. Mm-hmm. It'll bring the supernatural to the natural in your life.
Amen. Jesus said, "If you remain in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And get in the word. Seek the truth. Could you come back one more week with us and continue talking about this?
Oh, that would be a blessing, brother.
Join us next week. I'm going to bring Pastor Jeremiah back. We're going to talk about life with the Holy Spirit. Until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.